This morning, it's good to be back with everybody. It's good to be back home. Last night, I got excited when I drove up 150 and saw the house that I hadn't seen in a few days. And I haven't been going that long, but it doesn't take long for the heart to yearn for something a little bit more in line with, I guess, where your expectations lie. But it was such a joy, as I've said many times, and will tell each of you as you ask, to be with some brothers and sisters in Kentucky. But it was good to come home and see my wife, and the puppies were excited to see me too, so thank you for that. But I wanted to come back. This week we're preaching and we're continuing on with our series about the secret sauce, not-so-secret sauce, of how to live a Christian life. And how to use the Christian faith that God has given to us. And the Bible is very clear. It tells us exactly how to do it. And if you're like me, as I've explained, sometimes I don't follow the recipe, or maybe I'll do the steps out of order and things don't turn out quite like they ought to. But if we will follow this recipe from 2 Peter that we've been looking at, and that if we will follow what the Bible tells us to do with our direction of how to honor God and honor others in our lives, this full life that God offered to us will be fulfilled. And so far, we've learned about adding goodness to our faith. That was the first week. And as we read the scripture, they sort of put them in order. So goodness was the first ingredient, and that God has given us good works to take part in bringing blessings into the world. And we got to experience that this week. We got to do some good while we're down there, along with the faith and the understanding that God is going to be able to be glorified. God has given us the second ingredient, which is adding knowledge. And so we add knowledge to goodness. And I don't know about the others, but I certainly learned something while I was down there. I learned something about several different areas of construction that I didn't know, building houses and the operation of this Samaritan's Purse and how things are accomplished. But having a holy reverence and knowledge that God is in control and that He's going to reveal to us what it is that we need to know at that moment, that He is the one who has a full picture of what it is that the world is going to be to look like and how it's going to be restored, is the reverence, that knowledge that God wants us to have. So we add knowledge to goodness, and then we begin to get what's called wisdom, and we see that in our lives, and we're able to understand more about where we are. And a couple weeks ago, we talked about the last ingredient that we've added to our mix, and that was self-control, that we have to be able to put that as a key part of living the way of Jesus. The next ingredient in the recipe was appropriate for this week. As I had written this, I had no idea that it would be where it would fall, but certainly when we came and when I was in Kentucky doing this work, the perseverance that God talks about in 2 Peter was certainly applicable. You know, several years ago, I was thinking this week when I was down in Kentucky, you know, the Navy had recruited me as a high school student to come into some of their programming. And so one of the things they did was they took us to San Diego, and they put us up at the University of California, San Diego. We met some Californians as part of our group. That's what brought all this back to mind, and I was talking to them about this. But we went through sort of a recruit's basic training obstacle course. And so there was this this 22 obstacle course that we had to go through. And as I remember, as a 16, 17-year-old student, I was a little bit overwhelmed with it at that moment. But if I had to try it today, I don't know. It would certainly be overwhelming. I thought it was way above my pay grade. And certainly, as we arrived there at the station and we went to go do this obstacle course, we started. The first couple obstacles I was able to accomplish, and they seemed kind of easy. So as you go through and you move your way down the line, they get harder, right? You're more tired, and sort of that's how it was with these tasks that we were given in the mission trip this week. You know, it was easy to start hammering and screwing nails the first couple hours that we were there, But the longer that we were there, the next day and the day after that, you just start to feel exhausted. Your body loses its ability to rebound as quickly as you want it to. And so every muscle in my body was spent as I was running that obstacle course at 17. And certainly I can relate to that and rely on that as I'm 50 years old today with different things in my life. But I pushed through, and I finished that obstacle course and when I was 17, and we pushed through and we finished this mission trip this week. But in order to make it to that end, I had to have perseverance. And so perseverance is the act of doing something despite the difficulties or obstacles in achieving success. If you've ever played sports, then you've probably had to persevere to meet the challenges that faced you. And the Christian faith is not for the faint of heart. It is not for the faint of heart. You see, life in general is hard, but life as a Christian is even harder. Being a follower of Jesus is a lifelong endeavor. It's something that it takes much longer to receive the fruit, right? We're not going to get the benefit of living our life for Jesus Christ until He returns, until we're in heaven, until we are restored to the proper place that God created the world to be. Until we're in communion with Him. And so just like being in the middle of that obstacle course or being in the middle of this mission trip that we were in Kentucky, and as we would sit in the dorm room at night or down around the meal table, and we're all talking about, am I coming back to do this again? I don't think so. You know, am I getting ready? I think maybe we should think about going home, you know? We were all talking about Friday morning and what it was going to be like, you know? But you know what we did? We got up the next morning, we went out, we did the work. When I was running that obstacle course at 17 years old, I got up and my partners helped me over the wall, right? And we helped each other at this mission trip to get over the wall and to keep each other under control so we didn't, you know, overstep or overdo. But we're in the middle of life sometimes and we feel so overwhelmed. We don't know if we can make it. How can we continue to live this Christian life? It would be so much easier if I would just accept the way that the open door that Satan has provided for me. That I would just accept that this living of a Christian life is not necessary. That it's not something that I need to do. I don't need to finish this race that God has put me in the middle of. And we're tempted to give up on our faith as well. It's no wonder why Peter placed this ingredient in the recipe of life where he did. It's right in the middle. It's right in the middle. Because we need reminded that we need to continue to persevere. And the reason it comes after self-control is because without the Holy Spirit's aid in controlling our thoughts and actions, then we have no hope of persevering when things in life get hard. Because human beings usually take the easy way out. We usually take the easy way out. And in order to finish well in this life God has given us, it takes perseverance. Because there's so much at stake in terms of a full life that God wants for us to quit. Our Christian witness is at stake. Because what would it have been like if we all piled in the car on Wednesday and traveled back? Do you think those homeowners would have seen that there was a crew of 11 that left from Kentucky and came back to Pennsylvania? Yeah. Christians are just like, you know, they're nothing special, right? There's nothing special about God. There's too much at stake in terms of the full life that God wants for us to quit. Our Christian witness is at stake, and God's dreams, think about this, God's dreams for our lives are at stake. Perseverance is such an important part of what it means to follow Jesus that the author of the book of Hebrews writes this incredible passage of scripture that I've identified to encourage us to keep being faithful when things get hard. Let's look at Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. It says this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that is so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." The first reason that we're given to persevere is because we are surrounded by what the author calls a cloud of witnesses. Now, I don't know about you, but there are multitudes of saints who have gone on before us and have finished the race of life that I love. And they remain faithful. And I can tell you many, many stories about them and how they continue to persevere despite all the adversities of life. They remain faithful and they are watching us live our lives and cheering us on. Can you imagine, can you picture faithful men like Moses and David and Mary saying, "You can do it. Remain faithful. You can do it. Remain faithful." A cheering crowd is often the incentive and motivation we need to keep putting one foot in front of the other and not throwing in the towel. You have to persevere because you're not alone. In 1992, during the Olympics in Barcelona, there was a story of perseverance that took place as a man named Derek Redmond. Derek Redmond was competing in the 400-meter race. And partway through the race, he snapped his hamstring and began to limp in pain. And there's a video of it on YouTube that I can give you the link for if you'd like to. But he was really suffering. And he stopped in the middle of the race, and then he started again, and he just continued. Even despite this terrible pain, I don't know if any of you have ever hurt your hamstring or pulled your hamstring or hurt your foot, but it's very painful. It's not a good thing. But the crowd cheered him on. And he said at the end that cheering, that encouragement that he received from the crowd was why he finished the race. Because he wanted to satisfy himself, the motivation that he had, and also to satisfy the crowd. Have you ever felt like you were just in so much pain you needed to stop? Have you ever had so much on your shoulders that you just felt like you were crushed? As if the pain of disappointment and regret and shame and guilt or hurt is too much to continue living for God. But Peter would remind us that perseverance is a necessary ingredient to experience this full life of God. The author of Hebrews would encourage us by saying that there are others who are behind us, cheering us on, and are there to help us to the finish line. One of the fundamental truths given to us in the Gospels is that Jesus promised never to leave us and to never forsake us. Jesus said that. Jesus is in your corner. And so when you feel like giving up, when you need to know that there is a cloud of witnesses who believe you have what it takes to keep going. One of the main reasons Christians find themselves quitting on their faith is that they get tangled up and they get hindered in sin in their lives. And again, this is the reason that self-control is so crucial to our success. But it's no secret that sin will sometimes disqualify us in the race we are running in life. And so we have to choose wisely until the end. But the second point that I wanted to make to you today is that repentance leads to perseverance. Repentance leads to perseverance. You see, sin is any way of living that is contrary to the will of God. Sin is sin. There is no grading of sin. It's not like, you know, we can say that one thing is worse than another. Sin is sin. So when we sin, we hurt our relationship with God and our relationship with others. Sin is one of the easiest ways to hold us back and wear us out in our pursuit of the full life. And we have to remain sensitive to this entangling, these thoughts, these sinful choices that we are prone to. Sin in the Greek, I don't know if you probably have heard this illustration before, but sin in the Greek means to miss the mark. And so a lot of times when you're trying to explain what sin is, you'll set up the target, have the bow and arrow, right? And if you miss the target, that's sin, right? That's what the word means in Greek. And so if we're traveling in the wrong direction, One path that we can take leads to life and peace. Another path leads to destruction and sorrow. And when we're traveling on the way of sin, we are missing out on the full life that we are experiencing. The proper response is one that we are given throughout the spirits. What do we have to do if we're on that path? What do we have to do if we take a wrong turn? We have to turn around, right? We have to turn around. On Friday, we were traveling back, and one of our group's cars took a wrong turn. They didn't take the turn that we were all supposed to take. And so I was confused as to where they were, and they were confused as to where we were. But anyway, they ended up having to do what? Turn around and come back, right? And so we all got back together at a certain point. But the reality is, that's what we have to do in our lives. The proper response that God tells us to do when we're on the wrong path, when we're making the wrong choices, is to stop and turn around. We have to repent. We have to repent. Not in sorrow and shame. Not in sorrow and shame. We don't need to continue to feel that sorrow and shame. I don't know really what else to even say to describe it. But we have to do that 180-degree turn to travel in the opposite direction. Throw off the sin that has entangled us and walk in a new life. When we find ourselves free from sin, we are free to run the race laid out before us again in faith. But this is not a single solitary action, I want you to understand. We will make wrong turns in life. We will. We will be entangled in, miss the mark. We will miss the target. But we have to know enough that when that happens, that we make a daily search for our life, a full life with God. So what is the one thing in your life that you would cast off if you could, and that you would leave behind so that you could feel free to love God and love others? What's one sin that holds you captive? When we repent, we are empowered to persevere. The book of Hebrews tells us that when we run the race of life, we must run with our eyes fixed on Jesus, because He is the author and perfecter of our faith. Whenever we find ourselves being tempted again to look to the right or the left, or to fall back into sin and shame, we turn our eyes again to Jesus and keep running for the prize. So what does that mean? That means that we can't keep looking back at what we did wrong. We have to look to Jesus. We have to keep our eyes focused on Him. Because otherwise, we'll continue to get distracted and we won't be able to persevere. We won't be able to withstand. But we also know that we can persevere because Christ perseveres. We're Christians. We are in church today. We are believers of Jesus Christ because we believe that He went to the cross and He died. We also believe that He rose again. And we believe that He lives today, so that you and I might have a hope of an eternal life. Because at the very end of the verse in Hebrews, we're given the reason that we can persevere and strongly finish our faith. And that is because Jesus persevered on the cross. What would cause Jesus to give His life up on the cross? Why would He take those nails in His hands and His feet? Why would He allow Himself to be humiliated and shamed? The Bible says because of the joy that was before Him. The joy of knowing that you and I would be restored to our proper place in God's creation. What joy is found in this brutal death of Jesus? What joy is found in the death of our loved ones? In Philippians, it gives us insight into the mindset that Jesus had in His life, His death, and His resurrection. In Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8, it says, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage. Rather, He made Himself nothing, by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, he took on our form so that he could come and show that he loved us so much. Jesus was obedient to the Father by coming as a servant and giving up his life to free us from sin and to offer us a full life. He was obedient, and according to Hebrews, he gave it all with joy. Think back on this week, guys, that went with us to Kentucky. Did we give it all with joy? Jesus saw the joy that would come from offering us the very power that we need to trust him and give up and live a life that's worthy to the gospel. Because aside from his sacrifice, we were hopeless in our sin. Hopeless. There was no way we could run the race. No way that we could do what it would be that God would put us in the place to do, let alone finish the race. We couldn't run it without his obedience to death. You know, one of the reasons that people quit and they don't quit on their faith and they don't persevere is because they don't expect following Jesus to cost them anything. You know, one of the real traps of the prosperity gospel that we hear preached on TV is that people think there's no sacrifice required. That it's all just a bunch of blessings and no struggles. The reality is that's not true. Jesus said that there would be what? There would be trials. And there would be tribulation. And that we would be punished for being believers in him by society and by the world governments. One of the reasons that people quit is because they just don't expect to have to pay anything. And we don't preach that the fact is that you have to sacrifice in order to receive and to develop this discipleship. You know, we call them spiritual disciplines, the praying, the taking time to read. Because guess what? We only have so much time in life, right? There's only so many seconds and minutes and hours in the day. And we have work to do, right? We have to provide for ourselves, so we think. The reality is God's going to provide everything that we need. And he provides that through giving us work to do. I understand that. But that is no excuse for us to take away from our time of reading his word, of spending time talking to the Lord in prayer. Because being a Christian is painful. There is a death that we experience in having faith in Christ. When you were baptized, it's symbolic of the death of the old you. It's truly expected that you die to yourself and that you sacrifice your life to live for God. It's tradition in our church, you know, to do these baptisms. And each of you, if you haven't been baptized, we'd like to talk to you about that. But one of the things that we used to do back in West Virginia was we would go out to a lake, Lake Floyd, which we passed, those would be the trope in West Virginia. But we would go to Lake Floyd and we'd have this group of community baptism. All the churches would gather together and we would have 40 or 50 people that would be baptized in the lake. And one of my favorite moments during the baptisms is when we would take the individual, we would put them under water, and we would say to them, "Buried in Christ's death. Buried in Christ's death." Because the purpose of that is to remind you that persevering in faith is actually joining Jesus in death. Die. And then we bring them back up again. Right? If you're a really good pastor, you bring them back up again. But we say, raised to walk in the newness of life, is what we used to say during those services. We're reminding them that it's a daily choice. Each one of us has a daily choice to walk in the new life that's offered to us through Christ's resurrection. Each and every day, you and I are going to be presented with a choice, with choices, that we can commit ourselves to the pursuit of Jesus, to die to those old desires, to the pride, to the prestige seeking, to whatever it is in our life that we are tempted by. Take a moment to think about your own life. What is it that you are asked every day to sacrifice? Are you persevering? Are you persevering? Have you given up? Maybe you're just sort of roller coastering through life and just hanging on for dear life. Have you given up? Have you, all you have to do is repent, as Peter said, and as the writer of Hebrews said, and throw that heavy weight of sin off. And Jesus died so that you could be free to finish race of life, the race of life well. So add to your faith goodness and knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. It's no secret. It's not a secret that these are the ingredients for a life well lived. Let us pray. God, we thank you for this recipe. We ask, God, that you would give us the opportunity to follow it. That we would put those ingredients in the proper order. That we would have all of the ingredients that we need, that you would continue to provide us with the courage and strength to live a life that's pleasing to you. Help us all to run the race. Help us to run it well. Help us to persevere. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we get ready to close this morning, I want us to remember Tammy and Randy Weaver. Randy has been sick for several days. Just got a message from them. Tammy is having some pretty significant health issues and has asked for us to pray for them. And so I just want to take a moment to pray for the week. God, we come to you this morning and we just lift up Tammy and Randy. God, we just claim your healing for Randy. We ask, God, that you would touch Tammy, that you would heal her, Lord, if it be your will, and God, that you would use the doctors and all of the medical advances that you have permitted the world to have, Lord, that they would be able to find a way to make her life easier, God, that you would heal her, that you would just give her strength. God, just continue to give them the courage and the strength that they need to live a life that's pleasing to you. God, we love them so much. And we just ask, Lord, that you would allow us to bear their burdens in whatever way we can. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we stand and sing our invitation hymn, if you don't know Jesus, today's the day. Don't leave here today without a knowledge of who your Father is. This is his world. This is my Father's world. 143.